Okay, I want to talk about this. I talked about it earlier at the top of the show that we were going to get to this, and Alderman Jason Ervin was out as part of the marches and rallies today, and so he's just been able to jump on with us now. And we want to talk about Juneteenth, and we also want to talk about the reparations ordinance that is that's winding its way through city council, and it's in committee. But hey, Alderman Ervin, thanks for joining the show. I appreciate it. I know you just were out there. I don't know if you're still there. Are you still out at one of the rallies?
Yes, we're just getting in the car going back. But it was a great event, and celebration of Juneteenth, and also faith and justice and peace march here with Chris Harris. So it was a great event that hopefully will transcend into a greater movement.
Yeah, it seemed very well attended. I mean, look, I wasn't there, but I just saw the images that were online and things like that. It looked like hundreds, if not thousands, of people participated in two different ones. There was the one that started in the South Loop and went down to Daly Plaza. There was another one on the Columbus Drive, I think. Which where were you? At Grant Park or something
we
like
were
that?
We were at Columbus Drive, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lots of folks out there and a lot to talk about. Were there speakers today, Alderman Ervin? Or how did it go?
Yeah, so a lot, mostly faith leaders. That were participating in the five pillars that were set forth by Pastor Harris and the members of the organization. So again, great day, great opportunity. And again, just harnessing the energy and moving forward with it is the key right now.
Yeah. Okay. Juneteenth, that's today. And that was a part of what you were out there about. I know the city council, which you're part of, decided to recognize Juneteenth, but not make it an official city holiday. Tell us what your feelings are about all that.
Well, again, we annually have had commemorations of Juneteenth, and this isn't the first time that we've done that. We're definitely working toward the recognition of Juneteenth as a holiday, for the city of Chicago. I know, we have other holidays, but nonetheless, we do want to recognize the full emancipation of Africans that were brought to this country, the descendants of slaves, full recognition with a holiday. While we're not fully there yet, we're making steps to get there.
It feels like the support is there. The mayor made it sound, or said very directly, actually, that it was a budgetary issue, that to give everybody a 13th paid day off would be, I think she put a price tag on it, $100 million, and that city can't afford it.
No, that's the price tag. It's not $100 million. I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $8 to $10 million. However, there's
too high, but yeah, what do you think?
That cat. So, we're going to work at a solution that's not financially straining on the city, but yet recognizes the American descendants of slaves.
Yeah, it feels as if it is something that will get done for the future, right? I mean, does it feel that way to you?
Goal, and our goal is to get something done before calendar 2021 hits, mm-hmm. so that everyone can, utilize that day as something to commemorate the memory and the emancipation of the descendants of slaves here in the city of Chicago.
I lived in Texas for a few years, and it was very much on the radar there. And Juneteenth, where there were festivals and barbecues and parades, and it was a very big deal. You really haven't seen too much here in Chicago, and maybe I'm missing it, but you don't see that much is done on this day until really this year. I mean, tell me what your view is on that.
No, I agree with that. Juneteenth really, it originated, well, the historical significance for Texas is that is where it finally made it to, some year and a half after the full emancipation. So, that's why I celebrated so much in Texas, because they lived longer than anybody under slavery and have been the least free of us all. While we're still fighting for freedom across the board, they literally were not free when parts of our country were out of enslavement. Those individuals there were still considered slaves until that emancipation in June of 1865.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, they were already freed, but they didn't get word of it until then. And that is a huge holiday there, and I think it'll become a bigger holiday everywhere. I know New York just passed it as an official holiday for the city there, and maybe that'll happen here. Can I ask you about something else, Alderman Ervin? The Chicago reparations movement, there was some things that happened in city council, and it seemed to move into a committee, and there was some bureaucratic stuff that we don't even need to get into, but if you can you explain to us what it is, that what do reparations look like in Chicago? What would that mean How would that? How would we go about doing that here?
Well, I think that's the purpose of the subcommittee from Human Relations, is to kind of shape that. Reparations can take place in many different forms, and we need to see what is the most appropriate form for it to take place in and for the city of Chicago. Not only are we looking at this at our city level, but this is part of a national conversation on reparations for the American descendants of slaves. And so we want to do our part in this movement that's going on nationally, but also figuring out how we can deal with it locally as well.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to Willie Wilson about this a bit, and I know he's been one of the sponsors of the Illinois bill and part of the city council. I think he was consulted on this, what you guys are working toward. And sometimes when you hear reparations, you hear a per person amount of money that is given. Sometimes it's the way Willie Wilson explained this one to me was the proposal was more investment in minority communities. And to
that's correct, and that's why I say reparations can take many different forms. And while, yes, there may be a price tag associated with it, it's not necessary that every individual gets X number of dollars. Again, some of the things that Dr. Wilson spoke of are things that are being explored, where you look at direct investments in communities, where you look at direct investments in institutions, so that, you know, people can realize their full potential. So that's what we're thinking about. That's part of the conversation. So we don't want to just get stuck on giving an individual a set amount of money.
And is that not what you want, or is that part of this? I mean, are you trying to get both of them done?
No, I think that the work of the committee has to, you know, determine what's most feasible. So I'm not ruling in or out anything. I think the committee has to do its work, and we will listen to the recommendations of the committee and work from that point.
You heard from the two aldermen, white aldermen, Nick Sposato and Anthony Napolitano, both say that they called slavery the worst thing ever, but said it was done in the past. We can't rewrite it. They are not on board with the reparations. What do you say about that?
I just think that, you know, sometimes, you know, people may have to think about these things in a different way. I think that some of the advantages that some of my colleagues that I serve with have received from the labor and from the work of the descendants of slaves, you know, sometimes goes unrecognized, and they may not even realize that they have what they have based on the work that my ancestors have done. So, you know, we just need to help educate people about what's happened and what has happened and what advantages they may have accrued from the work of the ancestors from Africa.
Is there a place where people can go and actually view what it is that's proposed, or is the actual proposal for our city not put in writing yet?
Well, the actual legislation that created the committee does exist. However, what they are looking at or what their proposals are has not been formulated, as the committee needs to do that work to get there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. But you just have a minute here. I know you got a busy day, Alderman, and I appreciate your time. But I want to ask you about the idea about terminating CPD's contract within CPS. It's been a big issue that this proposal that would take all police officers out of the schools. What would you tell us on that? What do you believe on this issue?
Here's my take on that. I think that, A, individual schools have to make some determinations. But what I would not like to see is that we remove those dollars and we don't put those dollars back in the hands of those individual schools. And what we're seeing now is, hey, let's terminate the contract, but what happens to the money? And that's the critical component. We still continue to need resources for counselors, resources for, you know, restorative justice coordinators. And so we want to see something that mirrors what is needed. And not only, you know, we talk about police officers, but we have to talk about properly trained, properly resourced officers for our schools. And we have to reset the relationship our youth have with the police department, because if the first interaction a child has with the police department is on the hood of a car, we've already lost the battle with that young child. And we need to be looking more towards programs where our police officers are viewed in a positive light, the officer-friendly programs, our police explorers, other ways that we can engage our youth appropriately and give them the ability to know and learn the police department from a good perspective, not from a confrontational perspective.
Would you still have officers in schools with guns?
Well, again, I think that can take shape in many different forms. What the true problem that we've seen is that the police department need not be a part of the school's disciplinary process. In many cases, you'll find that schools are threatening kids and doing things that aren't appropriate, and the police officers are not being used appropriately in schools. So that's why I say we need to reset the relationship, train the officers better, and then those decisions on a school-by-school basis can be made. And some schools may need them, and some schools may not need them. But when we talk about properly resourced and allocated officers, we want to reset that relationship, because these officers in the schools may be doing some of the things of community policing, maybe doing a lot of different things, and may not just be viewed as that authoritative police force, but that community partner that's collaborating, trying to help me.
Alderman Irvin, thanks for your time today. Thanks for
breaking away. All right, very well. Thank you for having us.